Yesterday we had a lesson in Lashon Hara. I think today we'll go with a Shiloh Lashon Hara. So basically, Rav Zilberstein brings down the following case. He said, this guy, this family, unfortunately, the parents passed away, and they wanted the children wanted to sell the house. What happened? They told the people that they're selling the house, if you find anything from our parents, money, anything valuable, please give it to us. It's extremely, you know, we cleared out the house as best as we can. But as we all know, when you live in a house for a long time, you people put things here, put things there. So they said, if you find anything valuable, please give it to us, because we want it to be able to remember our parents. Obviously, if it's money or, you know, whatever, jewelry, whatever it is, please be able to give us. Say, no problem, whatever it is. What happened was, in the coming days, what happened? He said that in one of the closets that they had, this guy, this certain diary or journal fell out, and it fell out of the aron, and he opens it up. And what's written in the diary, what's written in the journal? It's this guy, as the Rebbe says, Meseches Chaye Hanisu Nakasha Shalom. The whole diary, the whole journal is written, is the husband's writings, is the husband's issues and challenges dealing with his wife. His all his Shalom Bayis problems. So now, this guy says, you know what? I'm pulled in two ways. On one hand, I told the children anything valuable, I'm going to go give to them. They said, if you find anything valuable, anything from our parents, please give it back to us. On the other hand, there's a lot of Lashon Hara in this right now. Like, okay, Shalom Bayis isn't that, this and that. But at the end of the day, there's things in there that I'm sure that the husband probably didn't want to come out about his wife, especially to the children. So when he asked his over, and at the end of the day, does he have a chiv to return this journal or diary now to the children? Because he said at the end of the day he said he was going to do it. So Rav Zilberstein immediately, I've never seen him, I mean, I don't learn that many tshuvas, but the tshuvas that he's done, you know, sometimes he goes back and forth. Here, from the outright, he says it's completely usur. 100% usur. And he gives two reasons why it's usur. The first reason, he says, is that what good is it going to do? It's not going to do anything good, right? Not only that, it's full of isur. It's filled with something you're not allowed to do. He compares it, he quotes a sefer called Chok Yaakov, Simon Tuf Lamed Hei, Sifkat and Beis, says that someone that dies over Pesach, and has chametz in his possession, the children do not inherit the chametz. They don't inherit the chametz. Why? Because the chametz is elahu rak iser. The whole thing is usur. Doesn't matter if it goes into the children's, if it's part, it's their ownership. They own it. The chametz itself is usur, right? They ain't all the morish iser lebno. Okay, so just because you're the son of your father, okay, you get all the yorshim. But if it's something that's usur, if it's treif, if it's pig, if it's chametz, you don't get it. So too by the diary, if the whole diary is filled with lashon hara, which assuming it was, you know, if there was anything productive, Rav Zilberstein would have said maybe you could try to give it to them. But if the guy said it's completely filled with lashon hara, it's just like chametz. It's just like chametz over Pesach. The child would not inherit it from the parent. The second reason he says. Quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Pei Beis Amun Alf. Basically, the story goes that Rabbi Preda's grandfather found the certain skull in the. It was going through the gates of Yerushalayim. And what happened? He said, and it had written on this thing Zos va'odacheres. This one and another one. So he says, you know what? What happens when you see a skull? I don't know if you guys see skulls or whatever. The halach is you have to if you see any bone or any body, body limb, you have to immediately bury it. What does Gemara say? Gemara says that he buried it. The next day, it came out. He decided to bury it again, and what happened? Veshuv also minodama. It's pretty crazy, you know. And it came out again. It came out a second time. Then he realized that it must be that this is the skull of the Melech Yoyakim, who was a tremendously evil king. And he said to himself, even though this person was Yoyakim was one of the worst kings, he was still a Melech, and I have to be able to. Maybe we have to show him some cover. And Gemara says that he wrapped the skull in mesh. He wrapped it in his thing, and he brought it to his house. What happens? You put something in your house. What happens? The guy's not home all day. The grandfather of the Rabbi Pred is not home all day. What happens? His wife's home, taking care of the kids, going to go packing the lunches and everything. What happens? She finds the skull. What happens? Is my husband a murderer? This is a 24 episode. So what happens? She goes to tell her neighbors. She goes to tell her friends. You know, it's very weird. My husband's probably the Rosh Kol in the town over here, and he's hiding a skull. What happens? The neighbor said, you know what the skull must be? It must be from his first wife. It must be from his first wife that he can't forget about her. So what did it happen? What did the grandfather of the Rebbe pray to? What did his wife do now? What did she decide to do to help out her husband? She decided to burn the skull. I'm going to burn the skull so my husband doesn't. Can be able just to fully focus on me, fully focus on our bias, because obviously he had a lot of issues letting go of his first wife. So how does connect come back to our case? He said he asked his father-in-law, Rav Yoshev. He said, how did she burn the skull? We know the halach is you have to bury it, and there's an isser to burn a part of a body. How did she do that? So Rav Yoshev basically said, and the same thing, she said that she wanted to prevent her husband from doing an aver so much that she did this. And she cheshbened it out, because my husband obviously still has feelings or has some sort of connection to his first wife, I'm going to try to prevent him from sin. So too, he says over here, this whole thing over here, this whole diary, this whole journal, it's full of iser. It's just like the chametz and just like the skull. It's preventing for that person from being able to go on in their avodas Hashem. And therefore, he said there's completely no reason or any heter for these people who took over the new house to be able to give it back to the children. Bez Hashem, in our own lives, we should be zochet to be able to be careful of lashon hara. Chavetz Chaim always said, quotes the Gemara, the Yerushalmi Gemara. We know Tama Torah Kenegar Kulam, right? Someone who learns Torah is 613 mitzvahs every single second. Every single second. You know what the Yerushalmi says? Lashon hara Kenegar Kulam. Someone says lashon hara, it's considered all the avers. And I'll tell you right now, it looks like there are a lot more avers than mitzvahs in the world. Just because the Gemara says that is it better to be born or not born? You know what the end of the Gemara says? Not born, because there's so many. Opportunities to sin. So Bez Hashem, the more we're careful of Lashon Hara, the more Bez Hashem will be positive people, as we said yesterday, the more optimistic people, and the more Bez Hashem will have a positive outlook on our entire life, always looking for the good in other people. And sometimes someone brings up something that we're not so good with, no one says we have to stay there, you can walk away, and Bez Hashem, make Hashem proud. Bez Hashem is Baruch Shem.